You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We've been talking about today's anniversary of the October 7th attacks and the start of the Israel-Hamas war, which has triggered devastating retaliatory attacks on Palestinians. After the initial attacks on October 7th, Israel launched an invasion of the Gaza Strip and has continued to bombard the area, killing over 41,000 Palestinians, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, and creating an ever-growing humanitarian crisis. Bassem El-Kara is the executive director of CARE Action. A Palestinian-American himself, he has spoken publicly about losing his own family members from Israel's retaliatory attacks. Bassem is with us now. Bassem, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
As a Palestinian-American leader in our community, how are you reflecting on today? Where are you at mentally and spiritually?
Still, it's like surreal. 1 year of genocide, loss, dehumanization. And I think, what's most painful, not just for Palestinians, but I would say Arabs and Muslims, is just the sheer dehumanization. This conflict is just, it's very clear what's happening there. The whole world's watching a genocide take place. Some folks are saying that the numbers could be over 100,000 killed. I mean, right now it's already over 100,000 killed and injured, and the majority of them are children. And, 1,000 families completely removed from the civil registry, 1,000 families wiped out, 3,000 massacres in the past year, over 1 million affected by diseases, skin disease, and we're still supporting it. The United States is still funding this genocide. So it's a state of shock. And, every day we look at the news to see who of our loved ones, is killed. There's a large segments of the family that we're not able to be, to connect with. So we don't know who's alive, who's dead. And so it's shock. It's still a complete state of shock.
The last time you joined Insight, you had lost numerous family members in Gaza. Can you update us on how your family is doing?
We've lost so far 113 family members, and this is not including the ones that were killed due to, medical reasons. My aunt passed away I think it was about 2 months ago. She, on her way to the hospital, she just couldn't get the care that she needed. And then about a month after that, my cousin was in a tent, 3:30 in the morning. His son is sleeping in his arms with a quadcopter drone. Just started shooting indiscriminately into the tents, and the bullet went through his eye and out of his head. And initially, the blood was all over his son, so they thought his son was killed. And then when they tried to wake him up, they realized he was the one who was killed. And so, one shock after the other. But what makes it worse for Palestinian Americans is that our taxpayer dollars are used to justify, to fund this genocide. The bombs that are being dropped on our people are coming from here.
Well, let's talk about what's occurred over the past year. As a Palestinian American and a leader for the Council on American Islamic Relations, known as CARE, how has your thinking evolved? What would you say you've thought about and maybe learned over the past year?
That, that throughout history, when we study genocides throughout history, it's just sad that there's people that will justify, that will continue to justify the oppression of other people. In our tradition, in the Muslim tradition, the Quran teaches us that you stand for justice, even if it's against yourself, your family, your tribe. And just to see that despite 1 year of genocide, there's people that will continue to justify the murder of innocent civilians.
And how do you navigate the pain that our own community members are feeling?
That's spiritual. The only way to cope with all of this is just knowing that, oppressed people, no matter what background, religion, are the closest to God, and there will be divine justice. And just, so the only way to deal with it is just, through a spiritual lens, knowing that everything that happens in this world, there will be justice. If it's not in this world, it'll be in the hereafter.
And what about disagreements among our local Palestinian American community? How do you navigate those? What kinds of conversations are you having?
I mean, everyone's united, you know, everyone, all the, you know, the community's all united.
United around what? What is there like a majority opinion about how this conflict should end? What is the unity?
The unity is in the loss and the pain, you know. You have, you know, it's brought closer the Palestinian Muslim and Christian community. It's brought just together the Arab community from different backgrounds, and also the, you know, our allies in the interfaith community, from the churches, from, you know, in the Jewish community. I mean, just what's been amazing is to see so many Jews who just come out publicly to support our community, to be there during the rallies and the marches, to speak out. And just to say, not in our name.
And for yourself as a community and political leader, what's your general message on this conflict as it continues to expand with no ceasefire in sight?
You know, this is not a complicated conflict. You know, it's clear as day now. The whole world is watching. Young people are watching the first live stream genocide on Instagram, on TikTok, on social media, where children and women are being slaughtered every day. And America has to ask itself, are these our values? It's our taxpayer dollars. It's our bombs that are killing innocent civilians. And so we have to ask, you know, spiritually, how are we going to deal with that? Because we understand that what we do in the world has a spiritual impact on our nation. And if we claim that we're a nation for freedom and democracy, yet we're supporting the most right-wing regime in Israeli's history, and just with you know, carte blanche, just, you know, sending them money, sending them weapons, I think that, you know, it's going to hurt us, and it's hurting our standing in the world. And also, politics is changing in America, where special interests, people are recognizing that the reason why this country can justify genocide is due to special interests, from certain lobbies, from the military industrial complex, and that there's now a whole new generation of young people from all backgrounds that are coming together and saying that this, we can never allow this to happen again. And folks are mobilizing all around the country to push back against, you know, this, you know, pro-genocide forces that unfortunately we have in the United States.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Bassem Alkara from Care Action about how the Palestinian American community here at home is coping and grappling with war abroad 1 year after October 7th. So we just heard from Rabbi Grossbaum a few moments ago. In the past year, what opportunities have there been to have conversations with the local Jewish community? You mentioned that, you know, you've noticed some splits, some differences of opinion. What are the conversations between your community and the Jewish community at large?
So there's a difference where, you know, like the rallies, the marches, I mean, has united a lot of folks from the Palestinian community, the Jewish community. But there are, you know, segments in the Jewish community that are standing with Israel no matter what. And those relations, you know, unfortunately, you know, as a Palestinian whose family is being murdered, I'm not going to go to, you know, I'm not going to focus on that relationship. I'm hurt and distraught that folks that I respected have been putting out messages for the past year justifying this genocide. And so will it hurt interfaith relations? Absolutely. You know, and this is, you know, there's no interfaith relations with folks that dehumanize you and justify the murder of your people. And essentially I heard the rabbi say that he reached out and he was rebuffed. This is the first time I hear that. I know he has actually met with a CARE staff member, and they discussed some, you know, ceasefire resolutions that happened in Folsom, California. So, but the first time I'm hearing that he was ever rebuffed for meeting a community member. And so there has been communication. Early on, there was communication between leadership, you know, the leadership in the Muslim community and the Jewish community. And I think over time, as you know, we saw some leaders just kind of harden their stances and justify what's happening over there. I think it has hurt relations and has strained relations. But with the community members, I think it's a different story, because we've seen the marches for peace, where you have a lot of Muslims and Jews coming together and showing beautiful solidarity during this crisis.
You worked with Mayor Steinberg on the Sacramento City Council's resolution in March that called for, among other things, a bilateral ceasefire, release of the hostages, a two-state solution. How do you think this resolution affected Sacramento's Palestinian-American community? Did it foster a greater unity or division?
People were excited that Sacramento was on the record supporting a ceasefire. And so, you know, it was, there was a lot of negotiation that happened. And Mayor Steinberg and I, you know, we were on this show previously, and we discussed that and how we negotiated in good faith, and we accepted a lot of the things that some of the Jewish leaders wanted. And despite us accepting it, they went and rejected it. And it was Mayor Steinberg that called them out for that. And that was very disappointing. We negotiated in good faith. But at the end of the day, it wasn't easy, but we, you know, the city council voted, the majority of the city council voted to support a ceasefire.
I want to talk about perceptions about Palestinian Americans. How important is it for the general public to differentiate between the Palestinian people here and abroad and Hamas?
It's, of course, you know, there's always going to be differences in, with tactics of these groups. And but Palestinians are Palestinians. They want freedom. And so this has been a tactic to call it a war on Hamas, but this is not a war on Hamas. The war on the Palestinian people predated the founding of Hamas, predated the founding of Hezbollah, you know? And so, unfortunately, it's the civilians that suffer in this region. And this is, by the way, an Israeli doctrine called the Dahiya Doctrine, if anyone looks it up. And this is an Israeli, Dahiya is the southern Beirut, and this is from 1980s, from early 1980s. This doctrine is that you punish the civilians to put pressure on the militant groups. And so, and this has backfired every time. Every time they go kill one of those, kill a leader, another leader who's more militant will rise. And so this, you know, these type of conflicts will just unite the Palestinian community against this genocide. And we're not going to get distracted by, you know, about these groups and the focus on these, because these are, this is an attempt to derail the conversation from talking about the genocide to talking about Hamas or Hezbollah. And our community says, no more. We will not do that anymore. We're not going to be defensive anymore. We are going to speak out forcefully against this genocide and against the occupation. At the end of the day, the occupation has been around since 1948, before the founding of any of these groups, and our people continue to suffer. And the United States is not it's not only complicit in this occupation and the genocide, it's actually a partner. The Israelis just 2 days ago exposed that Blinken signed off that Israel can attack humanitarian aid trucks in Gaza. And so it's more than complicity. And that's why I was part of the lawsuit against President Biden and Secretary of State Blinken and Defense Secretary Austin for their partaking in this genocide. There's no red lines whatsoever. There have been no red lines. And the whole world is seeing as aid workers are killed, hospitals are bombed, and the U.S. continues to put no red lines. And so that's why in Lebanon, we're seeing healthcare workers all over Lebanon being killed, hospitals attacked in Lebanon. And this goes against our values, where people in the military, U.S. military, have been speaking out and saying this is unacceptable.
You're mentioning concerns with the current Biden-Harris administration. As we all know, we're a few weeks away from an election. To what extent do you think that this overseas conflict will inform how members of your Palestinian American community vote this year?
Oh, this is the major issue for the community. And Netanyahu wants Trump to win, and he is, you know, the tactics that he's been putting pressure is putting more pressure on the Democratic Party, and where they're siding with the, you know, with the leadership of the party is siding with this genocide. And that is going to hurt them. And we have written letters to Kamala Harris, written op-eds. We've been very public about what the demands are, that they have to get a permanent ceasefire for our community to take them seriously. And our community is going to decide this election in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia. And people are angry. And people are angry with the Democratic Party for taking us for granted. You know, for the past two decades, you know, the over 90% of the Muslim community voted Democrat. And now we're seeing the Democratic Party leading this genocide against the Palestinian people.
And so what are people saying about how they're going to vote?
There's folks that are voting third party. A lot of folks are pushing third party. And you still, you know, there was, CARE did a poll where early on 29% were supporting Stein, 29% supporting Harris, and about 11% supporting Trump. But Trump's campaign has, you know, spent a lot of time in Michigan putting ads against Kamala that she's pro-Israel. I mean, they're playing, you know, they're playing this game. They're playing this political game, and the community, you know, is very angry right now. And so And Trump was able to get a few key endorsements in Michigan that I think he's going to increase his support in Michigan. And we know Harris needs to win Michigan in order to win this race. And so right now we're seeing a big push for Stein to, you know, punish the Democratic Party for what they're doing right now.
Awesome. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Bassem Alkara is the executive director of CARE Action. We've been talking about how the Palestinian American community has been navigating this past year after October 7th and the start of the Israel-Hamas war. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.